Now, turning to Bibles tonight, if you would please, locate in the Scriptures this evening the book of Joshua, chapter number 13. Joshua, chapter number 13. What I've started doing, as you've noticed, is with an introduction to the sermon, I now tag a title on about everything I attempt to preach. Primarily, one reason for this is the only reason. I said one like I had second reason. But the main reason is the messages, of course, are placed on the internet online. And normally it does help if you entitle the messages. And so I try to do that. And so you're sitting there wondering, well, what about tonight? Well, let's call the message tonight, Aged But Still Engaged. Aged but still engaged. See, the neat thing about having a title for message, sometimes at least, church members, when preacher gets through preaching, if you don't enjoy the message, at least if you enjoy the title, you leave here with something. So that kind of helps. Chapter 13, verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." I want you now to notice, though, in that verse, when the Lord reminded Joshua, or told Joshua, that he was old and stricken in years, and very much land still needed to be conquered, God is not saying in that verse that Joshua would personally be involved in conquering the land. The Lord is not saying in that verse that Joshua himself would be a foot soldier so far as the ongoing conflicts and battles which would take place in the land of Canaan. We know that when Israel got in Canaan, they had several battles that had to be fought. Several victories had to be scored. And enemies had to be driven out. At this point of time, they haven't totally done the job yet. There are still enemies to be conquered. But I want us to see something different about this tonight. We do not see Joshua at the end of his life still necessarily wearing the uniform of a soldier, but we do see him still engaged. He, at this point of time, is aged, but we see he's still engaged. And I think that's a point that's noteworthy and an application point that we can make tonight in our church and anywhere else for that matter of folks that have had the privilege of serving the Lord for a number of years. We may be aged, but God would still have us to be engaged. Let's bow our heads tonight in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God, and we thank you for the song that was just sung. And now we pray for your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God this evening. We ask you to speak to hearts and help us and encourage us all tonight to realize that the Christian, as long as we live, we still have a ministry for the Lord in some way, shape, or form. So, Lord, help us to understand that tonight. And now, Lord, bless us tonight in the message at this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says in verse number 1 that Joshua was stricken in years. Now, how old was he? Well, more than likely, he was close to 100 at this point of time in his life. He was certainly stricken in years. Yes, he was. He was getting up there. He's now an old man. And we know that he was not going to be around much longer. But God has an important message to give him. He still got something to be done for the Lord. He still is given an assignment. We continue reading here, and we notice what that assignment was. Verse number 7, same chapter. Notice what his assignment was. "Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." We notice here that he was in charge of dividing the land out to the tribes. The Lord gave him, the Lord tasked him with that function. He was to divide the land out that had been conquered. We understand that the tribes were strategically located at certain points throughout the, as they came through the wilderness, as they journeyed, as they marched. Tribes were to be camped at certain places. We know also that each one of those tribes, they were given designated places or a place to where they would live, where they would dwell. And also the land that was conquered was allotted out to the different tribes. And so Joshua had that responsibility. He's not to be in a fighting mode in terms of conquering more land, but he still is not through with his work. We could say concerning Joshua, he is not discharged. He's simply reassigned. God doesn't discharge him. He simply reassigns him. He is stricken with age. But we notice that he did not strike out. That's an important point. It's one thing to be stricken with age, but it's another thing to not strike out. Many people seem to want to strike out when they've been stricken with age. But I would suggest tonight to all of us, some here, of course, older than others. We have some younger folk here tonight too. Praise the Lord, enjoy your youth. But I'm saying tonight to all of us, whenever we reach the place in our life to where we back up and look and consider years that have gone by and look at where we are age-wise, we should never entertain the thought, God's through with me. There's nothing else to do. I'm done. I've been put out to pasture. No, no, never that thought. God still has a work, a ministry for us to do. We simply get reassigned. Reassigned, never discharged, but reassigned. He was stricken with age, as I've said, but he didn't strike out. You know, the aging process is quite interesting. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Now, how can you really tell when you're getting older? Well, there's many acid tests that we could take to prove that we're getting older. They say that you must be getting older when you feel your corns more than you feel your oats. They say that older age is a metallic age. You have gold in your teeth, you have silver in your hair, and you have lead in your britches. Somebody one time commented, they said, the preacher came the other day and said, he said, at your age, he said, you ought to be thinking about the hereafter. And the person said, I told him, I said, I do think about the hereafter. No matter where I am, in the lounge or in the bathroom or the bedroom or the kitchen or the cellar, I ask myself, now what am I hereafter? Bob Hope had a little bit of humor along that line. Bob Hope said, he said, you know, you're old when the candles cost more than the cake. Agatha Christie, she wrote on one occasion that she married an archaeologist. Someone said, now why in the world would you marry an archaeologist? She said, because the older I get, the more he'll appreciate me. Now, I'm not too smart, but I've kind of figured it out a little bit. There is a formula. There is a way for making it to be 100. You say, what is that, preacher? Well, my answer is keep breathing. Isn't that profound? That'll work every time. Now let's try to get serious if we can. Sometimes it's hard. Now let's go back to this. Let's think about this for a moment. Joshua was aged, but he was still engaged. Remember the context of the book of Joshua. First 12 chapters, Israel is conquering Canaan. Conquering Canaan. The last 12 chapters of the book, we see that Canaan is being divided and Israel is possessing the land. The first 12 chapters pertain primarily to conquering the land. The last 12 chapters have to do with dividing the land. The task has not been completed, the tribes are going to be assigned specific property. Now this chapter, I do believe this, I believe it's a good challenge to those who have the attitude, and sometimes, unfortunately, this attitude arises in churches. The attitude is this that some people have. They had this attitude. I've made my contribution to the ministry. Let the young bucks take it the rest of the way. That attitude sometimes shows its ugly head. It should not be that way. We may not, our entire life, stay in the same ministry, but the important thing is staying in a ministry. Still serving the Lord. Not resigning, but being reassigned. And I think the reassignment orders are as important as the original orders. Because after all, it's still about serving the Lord. You know, when it comes to church ministry, the success of church ministry is everybody working together, doing their little part, contributing. There's no such thing as big shots in the church. All we are is a bunch of little shots shooting together. No big shot. There's not a person in this church any more important than anybody else. There's not a position in this church any more important than anybody else. You see, I might be a preacher, but I'll tell you what, I'd have a tough time if I didn't have anybody to preach to, wouldn't I? So I need you. You need me. We all need each other, don't we? And you see, that's the key to success in a ministry. We all hone in on what God would have us to do, and we keep on serving God until the Lord calls us home. Let's look at this. Several things we see in the book of Joshua concerning this great man who was a tremendous saint of God. Number one, we notice the old soldier's resilience. Joshua had some resilience. Joshua wasn't a quitter. Joshua didn't give up. Joshua was just like Caleb. Caleb in chapter 14. We'll probably go over it tonight if we have time, read a few of them verses. But Caleb was looking for a mountain. Caleb was getting up there in years just like Joshua. But Caleb said, give me that mountain. And Joshua was just like Caleb. He was saying, give me that mountain. In other words, I'm not done yet. I'm still to be serving the Lord. After all, that was the attitude on the part of those two people that God was pleased in, resulting in their being the only two out of that former generation that come out of Egypt and goes into the Canaan land, because they were the two spies that had it right. The ten saw the giants, but Joshua and Caleb saw God. Their eyes were not on the threats and the problems in the land. Their eyes was upon the powerful God that knew what was needed. And the same God that led them out of Egypt was able to take them in the promised land. You see, the ten spies, they had been through the wilderness. They had seen the hand of God. They had eaten the bread that God had provided. They had been blessed time and time again. And then they get into that land and their hearts melt because of fear. They see the giants. They have that old grasshopper complex which hurts many churches. We're just like grasshoppers in their sight. And they melted. They had a meltdown. And it cost them many, many things. But Joshua and Caleb, they were mountain seekers. Here we have Joshua. Caleb, as we mentioned, we have Joshua now. Joshua is not ready to quit. Joshua may not be wearing a soldier's uniform in the battle, but he's still being reassigned. He's still got something very important to do. And that's what impresses me about him. Aging had occurred, but his work didn't end. He was refocused. He was a man of character. Somebody said that character, the test of character, is what it takes to stop us. What it takes to stop us. If we can be stopped, then we have a character flaw. You see, when people in churches give up, there's a problem in their character. Stop and think about that tonight. Why do people quit? Why do people get defeated? Why do people sometimes church hop, jump around, quit under pressure? invariably, it turns out to be a character flaw. People cannot take responsibility many times. Strong character looks at obstacles, looks at problems as opportunities of growth, as opportunities of going somewhere, because we realize tonight that steel is tempered in the fire. It makes it stronger. No wonder the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers testings, knowing that the trial of our faith worketh patience. And character is developed in battle. It's developed when times are tough. I tell you, I've been around here long enough to observe some tremendous people in Smith Grove. I've seen your character. You've stood here. You, through thick or thin, you've served God. You're still the same witness of testimony today as you were when I first met you. And praise God for that. Here's a man that had character. He had an assignment. He had a new assignment, but it was still an important assignment. He was a man that believed on continuing training. Joshua still needed to be trained more in his thinking, in his opinion. He still hadn't totally arrived. He's almost 100 years of age, but he still feels like it's not time to quit. You know, the thing about an athlete is this. Those who succeed in terms of athletics, who win their medals, who win the gold, the bronze, silver, their medals, are people that have resilience. They are people that keep training. They don't quit. They keep training. They never get satisfied. They may win a medal, but that doesn't totally please them. They're going for another one. They're always trying to defeat their old record. Their old record. That's what distinguishes a good athlete. That's how people are winners. They don't arrive somewhere or succeed and then say, I've done it, I'm done. No, they continue on. And that's what we see here. Now, the interesting thing about it is the fact now things have changed somewhat in Israel. Israel was still duel with the enemy. There was fighting that still had to take place. But God would drive out the enemy. I see three words that start with D right now that I'm going to give you. Israel would duel, God would divide or drive out the enemy, and Joshua would do the dividing. Each tribe would be given its portion, and they were not to fuss over the size of it. They were to develop it. Great point. Each tribe was given a certain part of that land. Some tribes received more than others. But what was their responsibility? Their responsibility was to develop what God had given them. To develop the land. Not to fuss and fume over the fact they didn't get a bigger piece of land. Not to compare their land with someone else's land, but to develop what God had given them. Now apply that principle to the church. You see, our responsibility here is not to compare our land, our lot, our talents, our abilities with other people in this church. Our responsibility is to develop the abilities and the talents that God has given us. To develop what we have. Not to be envious or jealous over someone else, but to develop what we have. It doesn't take a whole lot of sense for me to realize this morning in my message, when I cranked it up and went into music, that I was in the wrong department. But I was just trying to make a point, though, of what the content of that song, though. But see, we need to, they taught us in the military years ago, they said, stay in your own lane. There's a lot of truth to that. If people in a church will stay in their own lane and develop their lane, imagine how churches would blossom. But oftentimes what you get people in the church, you get one person, just like one tribe, envious of someone else's property, someone else's what someone else has, jealousy sets in, and they waste their time fretting and fuming because they don't have what someone else has while they're losing ground with what they do have. Begin where you are. Develop what you have. Be faithful with the 5 talents. Or if you have 2 talents, be faithful with them. The servant in the New Testament that went out and hid his talents, if you recall, was the one that got in trouble quickly with the master. It's hiding the talents. No, let's develop. Let's use what we've got. That principle comes out here in this precious book. The wonderful thing, when it comes to life, when it comes to years, is we will eventually run out of years, but thank God we'll never run out of grace. Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I've got to be a little, try to be humorous now. Most of us take that verse pretty serious. It comes to the last part of it, but not serious enough the first part. The fat, the flourishing. Try being fruitful. We run out of years, but never out of grace. Here's the thing that really amazes me about with all of us, including me. You know, every single one of us are blessed more than we deserve. I mean, look around tonight. We have several senior saints in this building. And guess what? I are one now too. But do you realize every one of us that have reached the age where we currently have arrived, we ought to be thankful. Many people will never see our age. You think of the threats out there in this world. And then what amazes me, too, is people our age, everybody but Wendy, she's still young. We get surprised sometimes when we get sick. Why should we get surprised? You know, again, here's the thing. I'm dabbling. I'm getting into an area. I don't belong in the field of medicine. Who am I to predict anything? I've got another prediction. The first one was how to make it to 100, keep on breathing. My second comment tonight in the field of medicine is this. I know why we get sick as we get older. You know why? It's called birthdays. We've just had too many birthdays. Fair statement? Y'all didn't know I had med school, did you? But go back now to this. Joshua had the resilience. He still had it together. He was still going to be actively engaged and involved in serving the Lord. We see his resilience. Number 2, notice his resistance. His resistance. How did he resist? Well, it's implied in the text. We do not see the word resist necessarily, but it's implied. What is it? We see that he didn't give in to temptation to rest on his laurels. He didn't give in. What did God want him to do? God wanted him to cheer, to challenge, to model before the young generation what a soldier was made of. That's what God wanted him to do. After all, he had a story to tell. Imagine now, Joshua could have called the people together. He could have said, come on over here, gather around me, let me talk to you. And I can see him now. He'd say, let me tell you what I've seen God do. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you get more older people today gathering young people around saying, let me tell you what I've seen God do. Joshua could have said, I saw the Lord part the Red Sea. I was there when God rained down manna out of heaven. I was there when Moses struck the rock and water came out of it. Joshua could say time and time again, I've seen the faithfulness of God. And he could say to the people, to the young generation, he could say, let me tell you, it still pays to serve God. Let me tell you, God's been faithful. Let me tell you, the Lord will not forsake you. Let me tell you, God will take care of you. Let me tell you, God's good. He could tell his generation that. I say to you senior saints tonight, get in the habit of telling the young generation what you've seen God do. Joshua had not been an armchair general either. He had his battle scars to prove it. He had been in the thick of battle. He had seen it. Joshua knew what it was to be in war when people were dying with noise, with screaming, with shouts. He knew the activity and the noise of the battlefield. Wasn't like a man one time looked outside and saw a bunch of boys playing army. And the gentleman goes out and says, what are you boys doing? They said, we're playing army. And the man said, well, I've noticed you're so quiet. He said, why are you quiet? And one little boy said, well, we're all generals. Joshua may have been a general, but he was an armchair general. You know, we are a part tonight of a resistance force. The Bible reminds us that we are to not only be resilient, but we're to be resisting. We're to resist as long as we're living. Resist what? Resist the world, flesh, and the devil by the power of God's strength. There's all kinds of good resistant voices. Verses. I'll get it right in a minute. There's all kinds of good resistant verses in the Bible that remind us to keep struggling, keep fighting, keep battling, keep persevering, keep disciplining. Let me give you some. Fight the good fight of faith. That's a good one. That's a resistance verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep on fighting. What about this one? Psalm 17:4. Concerning the words of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of destroyer. I have kept me. We know we're kept by the power of God, yes. We know it's God that keeps us, yes. But now, it still says, I've kept me. What does that mean? We don't help God out necessarily, but we are to practice personal discipline. We still are to apply the principles of the promises and what God gives us. We still, in that sense, are to keep ourselves. We're to guard, protect. We have a human responsibility. That's a resistance. Christians are to be a resistant or are a resistant force. Another good verse. Psalm 119:101. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have refrained my feet. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that when I preach to others, I myself will be a castaway. I keep under my body. It means I practice discipline. That's resistance. I say to all of us tonight, never give up. Do not give in. Be a part of the resistance. Many verses. Here's what we need to go forward with success in the Christian life. I illustrate it like this. How many of you have ever been out in a rowboat? How many? What is it about a rowboat? I mean, how many oars normally would you need? Two. I want to illustrate this. Let's imagine you're out in a rowboat. If you decide to use just one oar, let's say left side of the boat, you may get into trouble unless you know how to properly use that oar. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself spinning clockwise. Or if you just use the other side, counterclockwise. Now, good people that know how to use an oar, we learn, I say we, what do I know about it? I have rowed a few boats. One of the disgusting things that happened to me one time years ago, I was on Tuckertown Lake. I had a little rowboat with a little small Sears motor on it, about a 5-horsepower motor. And my brother-in-law, who's fairly large at that time, and my nephew were in that little boat with me. And I had that motor. You say, well, what does that have to do with this message? Nothing. But I just thought of it. So probably it's not that inspired what I'm about to tell you. But we had that motor cranked up all the way. But we noticed that all of a sudden the motor, even though it was going full blast, we were just barely easing along. What happened is the propeller picked up a sock in the water. And I knew we were in trouble when somebody went by us in a rowboat. But it's like this. Let's say you have a boat. Let's identify both of the oars. Let's call this oar over here faith. Let's call this oar over here works. If you depend just on faith, the oar of faith, you get into trouble. Or if you depend just on works, you get into trouble. But when you work the two oars together, faith and works, then you make progress in the Christian life. That's what we're saying tonight. We still got a responsibility. It's God that saves. It's God that keeps. It's God that takes us home. But He still gives us the ability to exercise the discipline, to depend upon the promises of the Bible, to read our Bible, to pray, to go to church, to practice discipline in order that we go forward. God still expects us to do some things too. Joshua had resilience. Joshua had resistance. And we can be certain Joshua had refreshment. Verse number 1 of the same chapter. It says here, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Here's what we see here. God told him, He said, there remaineth much land to be possessed. God would never say anything unless it was impossible to see that come into fruition. Since there's much land to be possessed, that meant that the land was going to be possessed. I suppose you could put it like this. God's calling is God's enabling. God's calling is God's enabling. We can be certain of this. God's grace will never call us to go anywhere where His grace will not lead us. His calling will automatically mean His equipping. You see, the promises of God can be believed. The promises of God can be taken to the bank. God doesn't make a promise that cannot be realized. He would be wasting words, wouldn't He? But God wouldn't waste words. So an enabling here. So we notice here, well, actually there's so much that we could look at here. Maybe I've got time to have you look at chapter 14. Let's look at Caleb. We're talking here about his refreshment. We're talking about how Caleb, like Joshua, he was refreshed by God's promises. He depended upon what God said He would do. Verse number 8, chapter 14. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But notice, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. That's Caleb talking. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85, right? Verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And then verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. What a testimony. What a testimony. Caleb believed God's promise. Caleb took it to the bank. Caleb did not treat it as idle words. When God had made a promise, Caleb took God at His word, and the Lord blessed him. And that's how we ought to function ourselves. Then finally, last of all, notice his reproduction. We see his resilience. We see his resistance. We see his refreshment. Refreshed himself in the promises of God. But we see his reproduction. You say, in what way? I'm not saying he had any more kids. Here's what I am saying. Joshua reproduced himself in the lives of his peers. And that's what God wants. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in the lives of people around us. Being a model, setting an example. Someone's watching us tonight, and let's set a good example. His reproduction. You see, he led the way, he modeled the way, he never totally stepped out of the way, he never retired from serving God. You know, the aged, people that have lived many years, have not only a story to tell, but we have an edge on the young people. And here's what I mean by that. We've had the privilege of walking a long time in the path of righteousness, haven't we? How many of you in this church have been saved 40 years? Let me see your hands. My, my. Anybody longer than 40 years? My, my, my. Well, about 50 years. My, 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 my. 60? Larry, 60. You're old. You hold your age good, though. You see, folks that have served God many years, they have a treasure. They have a treasure trump. What is it? A treasure of wisdom. You know, when it comes to wisdom, wisdom is not an overnight thing. Wisdom is something that's normally achieved through years and years of experience. Wisdom is not a thing of book learning. Wisdom, as someone said, is the ability to use knowledge properly. As we distinguish wisdom from knowledge. Older people are wise. They've been around. They've been in the heat of battle. They've seen what God can do. They have thought things out down through the years. They've figured things out. They've pondered issues of life. They've seen much things happen. They've seen trends come and go. They have made an analysis of all that. They have compared it. They've thought about it. And they've learned to put experiences in the context of the Bible even. As they've lived for Christ many years, a treasure trove of wisdom. Young people would be wise to listen to old people. Young people would be wise to go up to older people and say, could I just talk to you? Would you just tell me about yourself? Tell me about your life. And seek advice from older people. They're wise. They have a treasure of wisdom, a treasure of experience, and a treasure of understanding. Older Christians know the agony of defeat by experience, but also they know the triumph of victory. They fought the battles over and over and over, but God has still given them victory. They've experienced everything that the young are waiting to experience. They are a great treasure to any church. A great treasure. Psalm 71:17. They can say in these words, older Christians can say in these words, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Psalm 71:17. I say to every aged person tonight, don't waste your years. Don't retire. Don't quit. Just get re-engaged. Look out something that you can do for the glory of God. For example, you can take the church directory. If you can't move around, do a whole lot. You can start praying for every person's name on that directory. And take your time and work through it. What could be any more important in a church than prayer warriors? Tell people about what God has done. Young people, whoever you can. Let people know how good God's been in your life. And just keep on serving God till Jesus calls you home. when you get to the place in your life where you don't have the physical ability to do what you used to do, still don't discount what you can do. Just count your blessing. You're able to live to where you are. And while you're able, still monopolize, take advantage of every opportunity to still serve God some way, shape, or form. You may have to be reassigned sometimes, but accept your reassignment with pleasure, with joy, because God has left you and I here for a purpose and a reason. So in closing tonight, aged, but still engaged. And I believe that's the motto for a senior saint. Let's bow in prayer.